Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America party. My New York accent will slowly change to a New York accent as the day approaches when the Irish once again fight the wind. And you know what the wind is? It's their ancestors. They come down from heaven for a good fight. Welcome to the Spirit of America party, and we're going to open up with a war chant. So hang in there, and then I'll tell you who we're going to war against. I come from the last drug-free generation. We might be full of beer, but at least you can hear us coming when the cans and the bottles cling together. And when was the last time you were rolled by a drunk? And never forget, 6 pints of Guinness makes a wonderful birth control pill. But I came not to bury Caesar, but to praise him. And we're going to declare war on the puppy party. The little fairies who are selling our pot of gold. Ball and go, I declare war on Germany. And everybody would run, and then he would try and hit the Germany with the ball. No, you never played those games. No, they made you dress like a woman in school. They made you play Sissy Mary. You weren't allowed to touch anybody just to be touched. They started you on the Ritalin, and eventually you graduated to the marijuana. Yes, and the cry was, he's on the dope. And now they got you pumping Johnny Jump Up pills. Did they make you put your head in the bag and sniff the glue? Is that how you got your start? Or did you get it at home watching your daddy and mommy smoke weed? Bartender, give me an Irish fighting tune.
We'll be right back.
the press is doing a stack of barley. They're so thrilled with the news that the church is losing members. Not as many Christians as there was once before. Well, never forget, we can go down to 12 and start all over. And they're also thrilled about the daughter of Sarah Palin, who they said wasn't qualified to be a vice president. Let me tell you, she was qualified to be president. As compared to what we got here now, a lemonade man? You gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. What, the guy makes wonderful speeches? Yeah, friends, Romans, and countrymen. Lend me your wallets. Yeah, we're in trouble. Sarah Palin would have done just fine. I'll tell you one thing, there'd be oil coming out of California, and the Kaiser, the governor over there, wouldn't have to be stealing money from 49 other states to pay his extravagant bills. Yeah, self-sufficient California. Give me a break. My attacker today is on the Repuppy Party. The Repuppy Party sucks. And I don't like what I'm getting, and I didn't like what I was getting when Bush ran for re-election in 2004, and they put that schmuck Ken Millman in charge of the RNC. The rotten, nasty copycats. And he gave Chuck Schumer a walk-on in New York. He handed it to him on a silver platter. He gave Corzine a walk-on in New Jersey. He handed him on a silver platter, and they put Bush in chains. Bush was told not to go to New York and not to go to New Jersey, but go to Pennsylvania and endorse Arlen Spectacle, who is a Democrat. Never forget, 40 days before 9/11, 48 senators voted to burn the flag. 40 were Democrats. And of that 40, at least 36 of them voted to kill kids. At least 36 of them vote all the time to kill kids. At least 36 of them vote no anesthesia for full-term babies having their heads torn off. This is a party, and yet they'll play on your feelings to get votes. They'll play the sympathy game. Yeah, yeah, we're so understanding. We reach down to the little guy before we smack him. Yeah, unbelievable. So, 48 senators voted to burn the flag. Of course, they didn't say they're voting to burn the flag. They just blocked an amendment to make it a crime, to desecrate a flag. And they said that flag burning is freedom of speech. Well, you know what? Somewhere I've got a clip. Let me see if I can find it. I'll be right back, and we'll see if we can put these 48 flag burners to the test. Okay, you 48 flag burners, we're gonna have your picture taken, and especially the 8 Republicans who voted to burn the flag with the 40 Democrats. Could you, 8 Republicans, stand in the front row? Thank you very much. Dad Cochran, would you get in that picture, please? Yes. All right, now, a big smile. Big smile. Everybody say, communist. That was hard to hear. That was a mouse firing squad. And that's why you couldn't hear it, because mice squeak. So you just heard the quick exchange of gunfire, but the 48 senators who voted to burn the flag are still alive, so we've decided to call off the firing squad, and we're going to try and see if we can get their picture taken with the Dolphins. Okay, now everybody, into your bathing suits, we're going to get your picture taken with the Dolphins. Now, be nice to the Dolphins, and don't bump them on the nose, because they don't like that. But be very, very warm and affectionate to the Dolphins. Make believe it's a fetus. Okay, is everybody in? Nice and close, get everybody close together. Here come the Dolphins. Obama bin Laden stands up and he tells everybody he's closing Gitmo. Just like that, he's closing Gitmo. You know who he sounds like? He sounds like the emperor in The Gladiator. You know, anything to please the majority of 52% that put him in power. Well, I got to tell you, there's 48% that are not too comfortable. And what is he going to do with the ones in Gitmo? You're going to bring them? You're going to let the ACLU defend them in court? The ACLU that spends all its time crippling America? We are terrorists to the bone. This is from Move America Forward, and I had to read it to you because I know that nobody else is going to hear about this. Just the voice of the oppressed crying in the wilderness. We are terrorists to the bone. Five Gitmo detainees threaten America while a former cellmate takes lead of the Taliban. And I'm going to tell you something. Harvard, Yale, Columbia, and Fordham University, you can throw them all in the garbage. I have no use for any of them. Fordham University is the Catholic Columbia, in my humble opinion. Yale was the home of Nathan Hale. It used to be a divinity school. Now it's anything but a divinity. And I'm not impressed with Harvard graduates. Was Bernie Madoff a Harvard graduate? God help us. God help us all. I'm not impressed. The ones who hurt us the most are the Harvard graduates. And Harvard was one of the top 10 contributors to Osama bin Laden, Obama bin Laden. The new head of the Taliban, who was leading the fight against Americans and watched the press cover up the body count in Afghanistan. Watch how they slip, they overlook at the bodies. Yet when Bush was president, they were counting fingernails. They were counting hair follicles. Every day it was in your face. More Americans die. Look, they're all dead. They would run up to a house where a mother just lost two sons and stick a microphone in her face and go, "How do you feel about the war now?" Yeah. Let's see what happens when the body count climbs on Obama's wake watch. The new head of the Taliban who was... Also, when they're talking about cutting expenses, let me tell you something. If every American soldier needs his own tank, give it to him. I don't care what it costs. The budget is not big enough for defense. I want the biggest budget in the whole world. I want everything. I want all the hardware. I want the spy in the sky. I want the Star Wars. I want the Death Ray. I want to make sure that I'm going to be around tomorrow. And I know that I won't be around if these communists have their way, destroying this country. And the day's going to come when there's going to be another Fort Sumter. If Obama keeps doing what he's doing and keeps filling the pipeline with all these communists, there's going to be a revolution. And we can't talk about it because Big Brother's listening. But you know, everybody, the meeting's tonight at 8 o'clock. So, let's see what we got here. The new head of the Taliban, who was leading the fight against Americans in southern Afghanistan, is a former prisoner at Guantanamo Bay. Now his goal is to slaughter the 17,000 additional troops that President Osama bin Laden has sent to Afghanistan. According to the Assassination Press, the Associated Press has done nothing in the last 8 years but bring down America. They use communist-infiltrated journalists to write stories that hurt the United States. I call them the assassination press, and that's what they are. And when they get their frontline reports, they're from the Taliban anyway. Fair and impartial Taliban. Russell's stated mission is to counter the U.S. troop surge in Afghanistan. And there's a guy that's up there in those hills who used to be from California, once at the home of heroes, now at the home of Hollywood. Yeah, and he's up there, and I forget his name, but he's got a real ugly face. You can't miss it. and he betrayed his country, and he should not come back alive. He should be executed on the battlefield. Two between the eyes. Either that, or strip him of his rank and run him off the post, and let him live off the Taliban. Now, better to finish him off. Yeah, and that's it. The new order of the day. And nobody comes home from the battlefield except the Americans. Rasool's return to terrorism is a prime example of why Obama should not close the prison at Guantanamo Bay. What is he thinking when he knows that these terrorists are returning to the battlefield to kill American? It's no skin off of his nose. He never served this country. He never will. He has no DD-214. He was never even in the Admiral Cadets. His idea of dress blues is a suede shoes. Yeah. Yeah, and this is what America has offered us up. The Clintons, President Pinocchio pants, a draft dodger. Betrayed his country from England. John Kerry, who testified in Hanoi against Americans. Who went to Paris and testified against the Americans while still in the military. He not only abandoned, he quit his guard post. He sold it. At the same time, the Rasool's Taliban promotion hit the news. Five other Gitmo prisoners said they are proud of their part in the slaughter of the innocents on 9/11. Obama stopped the trial for these terrorists, but a judge released their statements. Killing you and fighting you, destroying you and terrorizing you are all considered to be great legitimate duties in our religion, said the five terrorists, one of whom is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the alleged 9/11 mastermind. Who call themselves the 9/11 Shura Council, which is Arabic for advisory group. Last night I watched the documentary, and I hear there's a good movie coming out, and it's been produced by a brother who went to Iraq to film his two brothers, who I think are Rangers. And I think they were on one of the shows today, and it sounds like it's going to be a great movie, and I hope everybody goes and sees it. But last night I'm watching a documentary made by Iraqis about Iraqis. And it was a propaganda piece. But I got to tell you something. You have to admire the Iraqi people. They're sitting in an ambulance. A woman has been, she was in the way of a bomb. They were setting off bombs. And they're Iraqis killing Iraqis. And they're blaming Bush, but more than that, they can't believe that Iraqis are killing Iraqis. They can't believe their own people are killing them. They can't believe it. Their mind is blown. And they did an interview of a kid in the hospital, and he was a Sunni kid, a Sunni boy, and his buddy was a Shia boy. And they were stopped by the Sunnis, and they killed the Shia boy, and they were going to kill the Sunni boy, and he said, I'm a Sunni. And they said, we'll call your parents and find out. And he gave him the phone number. They called his parents, and the parents said, yes, we are Sunna. And they said, you know what? Let's beat him up. This way, if he's Shia, we got him. But if he's not, well, then he'll understand and live with the mistake. How's that for cold and calculating? And it was all kids they were killing. And guess what? The hospital had no anesthesia. They had a kid who lost, I think, his mother and his brother. And they had to hold him down to remove shrapnel from his body. And I got to tell you, it was real sad. I felt sorry for the Kuwaitis. And I got to say, they are a tough people. But the Afghanis are tougher. And the way we went into Afghanistan the first time was the right way. We went in with the help of Massoud, the Lion of the Panjshir, who Osama took out the night before 9/11. How's that? And he was the guy that was warning us that Osama was coming. But Clinton was too busy getting his harmonica lessons. And he just wanted to build a library. He's a regular pharaoh. The evidence is mounting that Obama's order to close Gitmo endangers Americans. Do you want to know something? One of those Gitmo guys comes back and kills Americans or hurts people in a mall. And they say the FBI now has a terror list of 1 million people. And that's all it'll take one day is for all the malls to go crazy with gunfire. And we will become Baghdad too. And when that day happens, watch out. That's the day that the fit's going to hit the shan. Because, you know, you can only make a man bend his neck so far before he straightens up. So, MAF Executive Director Catherine Moy said, "Our troops will now have to deal with Razul and other former Gitmo prisoners because they were allowed to leave the prison, which is safe and humane." And I hope that while those guys were in Gitmo, they managed to turn a few who can drop a dime and save an American life in the event that Barracks Osama turns them loose. Even the AP admits that the revelation, you see, people know, the media sucks. The worst is Marine killing MSNBC. I watched them from day one when the war began with disdain, total disdain. I remember they had a Marine that they tried to sacrifice, who had finished off a twitching Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And they had a cameraman behind him who worked for MSNBC named Kevin Seitz. And he filmed the guy finishing off the twitching Al-Qaeda. And they made it like a My Lai massacre. And they had on an army colonel who betrayed his oath of allegiance to the United States. And they had him on as an expert. And he called that Marine jazzed up. Jazzed up. How's that? He was jazzed up. And you know who was tingling his leg at the same time? Chris Matthews Rasbanjani. Do you know what outfit Chris Matthews served in during Vietnam? He was in the Peace Corps. He was decorated by Jimmy Carter for his guacamole dip. Even the AP admits that the revelation of Razul's leadership position and intent to attack American troops hurts Obama to close Gitmo and send the prisoners of the United States or other countries. America released Razul to the Afghan government, which released him. Yeah, and when the guys bombed the coal, they were put in a Yemeni jail, and they went home for lunch. And then they would call in and say, "I really don't want to come back and sleep there tonight." And the ruler of Yemen said, "You know what? You come in a couple of weeks. You sit around, you have a tea, and then you go home again." Never forget that Yemen is the birthplace of Osama bin Laden's mother. At least two, and the Yemenis, a lot of Yemenis are employed in Saudi Arabia because Yemen is a poor country. At least two Saudi detainees, once held in Gitmo, were released by Saudi Arabia for rehabilitation. Now they are Al-Qaeda members. A National Intelligence Director, Dennis Blair, said, "Mr. Obama has no concrete plans on what to do with these very dangerous prisoners, and that should alarm Americans." Oh, he knows what he's going to do with them. He's going to let the ACLU get them all off the hook. The leader of the Taliban was set free in Afghanistan, and the same thing, it can happen over and over, if Obama closes Guantanamo Bay. And that's from Move America Forward, and they have produced a TV commercial focused on Obama's dangerous plans to close Gitmo. Watch the commercial here. You can, if you look for it, I guess it says Gitmo on it. Oh, it's on YouTube, and just go to MoveAmericaForward.com. Thank you, Move America Forward, for giving us a heads up. And speaking of heads up, When I come back, I'm going to talk about repuppies and conservatives, and the conservatives who don't stick together. You know what I get a kick out of? I get a kick out of all the communists that are always defending the rights of hardened criminals and terrorists. And they say it's better that 100 terrorists go free than you convict one innocent man. And do you know that the communist philosophy is, you know what it is? It's better to kill 100 innocent people than let a bad guy go, than let an enemy of the communist party go. How's that? And Stalin has got the body count to prove it. Pol Pot has a nice 2.5 million people that used to live in a city that's no more. Everybody that lives there today didn't live there 20 years ago. And you think about that. And they're very magnanimous, as long as it's no skin off their nose or they got no skin in the game. But you put them in a situation, in a hostage situation, and I guarantee you, all you'll see is glazed eyes. And I can't believe this is happening to me, look. So, in honor of American atrocities, I thought I would play you the Abu Ghraib song. You know what used to be done in Abu Ghraib? Did you know an American pilot hung there for 9 years? Nah, you won't hear about that. You know why? Because he was only one American. And one American doesn't count. Not anymore. And you think about that.
I fall off my chair, and I'm wondering how I'll get down.
You got to remember that the media hates the U.S. military. That the media thought the U.S. military was down and out for good when they defeated them at home in Vietnam. And when George Bush told the American mothers that he would have their sons home shortly after they liberated Kuwait, and I think the death count for the Kuwait war was like 17, the media was furious. And all of a sudden, the entire country loved the American troops. They put the poison out of their mind, which brings up the question, how do you know you're not brainwashed? Were you born BBW before brainwashing? Not unless you were born in the 50s. Everybody from 60s on is brainwashed. I'm the only guy that knows freedom. I'm the last guy. So, that's what the media did. They were furious that the Americans won a victory. And they went to work and they said, we've got to go back to our tactics of the 60s. Let it burn. Bring it all down, baby. Smoke weed. Take the lead. Yeah. Rewrite history. Make America look bad. So they were waiting for an atrocity, and they finally got one in Abu Ghraib prison. And it turns out that there was a guy and his girlfriend who were running the prison, and the general in charge had no idea anything was going on because she never went there. And he was teasing the prisoners by making believe he was going to electrify them, and he made them wear ponchos and stand on a chair. And then he came in with guard dogs, and they growled their teeth at the prisoners. And then they made them disrobe, and they all had to form a pyramid, and they all had their moon showing. When I saw the atrocity, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was the Democrat convention again. As a matter of fact, if you ever saw that picture, you take a good look at that picture, with all those guys in a pyramid and all their moons showing. The second guy from the left in the second row, doesn't he look like Chuck Schumer? So let me tell you what atrocities is like. Have you ever seen a rape room in Iraq? I haven't, and I don't want to. You ever see what they did when they took over the little towns and the Al-Qaeda started running at the town? And they were dragging people into the torture rooms, and they used to drill their eyeballs out. And these people, they love pain, your pain. They love screams, your screams. Did you ever see what they did, what Hezbollah did to Buckley in Lebanon, in Beirut? The CIA chief, and the CIA couldn't find him. That's how good the CIA was. And I don't think they're much better today. As a matter of fact, now that Obama's there, everybody will be cruising. But that was the greatest atrocity that was committed. They were made to disrobe and stand and make a pyramid, moons out, and then they put panties on their heads, and nobody suffocated. So let me give you the Abu Ghraib song to celebrate this atrocity.
I gotta give it to you twice. I recorded it by accident. But
well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.
Well, the good news is the stock market's up 2 days in a row. So we've regained 500 points. That's good news. The bad news will be if the price of oil rises with the recovery. The price of oil has to stay down. We got to get it down to $25 a barrel. $25 a barrel, and America can come back from this recession. I don't call it a depression. Depression is when the neighbors are climbing in the window looking for bread. But we got to keep the price of oil down. And then we have a chance to bring back the economy. It's sad to see these politicians. They have no idea what's going on. And they put 9,000 porcupine items in this bill of 1,000 pages that nobody read. You go into any supermarket and you walk up and down the aisles, and I'm not a supermarket man. If I go once a year, that's a lot. And it's probably to get toothpaste that's on sale. I'm lucky. I have a guardian angel who does all my shopping. But if you go into any supermarket and you walk up and down the aisles, you'll see mothers there with calculators. And they're putting this in the basket and taking that out of the basket, and they're hitting the tab on the calculator. And you've got a Congress, a House and a Senate of rich people, of lawyers and billionaires. The governor of New Jersey spent $51 million to get a job that pays $200,000. Are you kidding? Why did he do that? Because he probably has fantasies beyond his wildest dreams. He's going to be president. You think about that. He's going to be the first white president. Yeah. Oh, man. Unbelievable. John Corzine. He voted to burn the flag when he was in the Senate. Did you know that? Yeah, he's one of the 48. And Dad Cochran from Mississippi, he's one of those Republicans. I mentioned him before. I'll mention him again. I don't want you to forget. Because he also voted for this stimulus package. He's one of the eight that went over. He's one of the eight that went over to burn the flag, and he's one of the eight that went over for the stimulus package. How's that? You like that? And there's a guy up in Oregon. He's another one. It was his name, Gordon Smith. He's a flag burner and a baby killer. I'm not sure about killing the babies, but he's definitely a flag burner. Percentage-wise, if I had to bet money on is a flag burner a baby killer, I would come out ahead about 80% of the bets. But they see they don't call it killing babies. They call it the terminating the fetus. Yeah. They won't. You know what? You can't lie to a child. A child will not accept a lie. A child asks simple questions. A child will say, what is an abortion? And how are you going to tell them? Well, you see, honey, there's this, when you were very, very small, when you were that small, you didn't have a name. We didn't know what you looked like. And little small people like that, their parents kill them. Yeah, how else are you going to tell them? What are you going to say? You're going to give them a clinical explanation? Like this is the final solution? Yeah. They're only embryos. That's all they are. They're embryos. Yeah. Fetus, embryo. What? He got out of the embryo stage. He's now a fetus? How old is he? Can we tear his head off? Who says he's a he? How about a she? Yeah. And the Hippocratic Oath, I call it the Hippocratic Oath, is do no harm. In other words, before you put hang out that shingle that you're a doctor, you take an oath to do no harm. Just like senators and congressmen take an oath to protect the Constitution and the people of the United States. How are you protecting them when you're selling them down the river? How are you protecting them when you drive them out of business? How are you protecting them when you close down their foundries and send them to China and then go do business with the Chinese and give them all your dollars? If I hear one politician this year stand up and say, we are the greatest industrial power in the world, I am definitely going to buy a scope for my rifle. Yeah. For my BB gun. Unbelievable. These same people who sold us out still would tell us we're the strongest industrial power in the world. You want to see something? I opened up the paper today. No, I got an email. The email comes from the Middle East, and it's business in the Middle East. And Qatar is announcing that they are building their eighth giant liquid natural gas ship to transport liquid natural gas. And this is the eighth one, and these ships cost a lot of money. I don't know if they cost $1 billion, but they cost a lot of money, and they may be $1 billion each. Okay? And they're trying to catch up with the UAE, who has been doing the LNG business big time. Okay? And 10 years ago, they were having these ships built. They're all being built in Korea. Now, you think about this. You go to the History Channel, and you turn on the History Channel. I don't care when you do it. Any day of the week, and you look at Made in Brooklyn. We were putting out 3 Liberty ships a week out of Brooklyn. Okay? We were the largest merchant marine fleet in the world. Today, we're nothing. We're zippity-doo-dah. When the coal got hit by a dinghy on President Pinocchio Pants' watch, under the watchful eye of Kathy Bodine, the Clinton-appointed ambassador to Yemen, the home of Osama bin Laden's mother, the unguarded coal, a $1 billion warship, and didn't have a tow truck. We had to go to the Norwegians or the Swedes and rent a tow ship to bring the coal with the hole, while Clinton called for his pipe and his bowl. We had to bring it back to Pascagoula, Mississippi. You don't think that's an insult? If you had a fleet of cars, would you have a tow truck, your own tow truck? If you had the biggest fleet in the world, would you have a tow ship? Or what would you have, a Spanish galleon? Unbelievable. You think about that. So, you turn on the History Channel and you watch the might of the American Merchant Marine, which is nothing today. Nothing. And not only that, we were building so many ships that we lent ships to the British so they could stay afloat. We were building for the Russians. We were building for the whole world. And today, all of those ships are being made in Korea. There's maybe two shipbuilding places in the United States. And Obama's thinking of closing both of those right now, because there's too many Americans working there. Yeah, we're in trouble. Hang in there.
A minstrel boy to the war is gone. In the ranks of death you will find him. His father's sword he has girded on, and his wild heart slung behind him. Land of song, say the warrior bird, though all the world betrays thee, one sword at least thy right shall guard, one faithful heart shall praise thee. Fell, but the foeman's chain could not bring that proud soul under. The harp he loved ne'er spoke again, for he tore its cords asunder, and said, no chain shall sully thee, thou soul of love and bravery. Thy song were made for the pure and free, they shall never sound in slavery.
Hi, you boys and girls, I'm back. I got this from Newsmax today. It says, Steele stumbles on abortion, Obama nixes border troops. How do you stumble on abortion? Was that like tripping over the body of Chandra Levy that the Washington, D.C. police couldn't find? And some guy walking his dog happened to see her? How do you figure that one? Chandra Levy, who was murdered by an alleged immigrant, who's alleged, he's allegedly been charged with alleged murder, a Salvadoran, and the media never said he was. They left out the words illegal. He was an illegal immigrant. And they also left out the words member of a gang. Do you know what? There are gangs. They just caught a gang leader here in Staten Island. He's a kidnapping gang leader. And he's from Mexico. He was paying $400 a month rent to live in an attic. He's on the lam from Mexico. Wait until all the Gitmo murderers are on the lam from, thanks to Obama bin Laden. Yes, I really get confused with this guy's name. He should have just stuck to Hussein. But you weren't allowed to say Hussein. And my question again, once more, is how do you know you're not brainwashed? The BBW, yeah. There's AD Anno Domini. And then there's BBW, which is before brainwashing. So, I'm concerned for my party. And it may no longer be my party, because I got to tell you, I would rather have 30% good, strong conservatives as the party to deal with than 53% patchwork. The only reason that some of these Republicans call themselves Republicans is they wouldn't get elected if they called themselves Democrats. Or they are Democrats, but there's no room for them in the Democrat Party, so they have to wait until their opponent leaves office before they can switch over. And the worst offender, of course, is the once great state of Vermont, which just joined the Warsaw Pact last week. And Bernie Sanders, what a phony that guy is. Whew! And I'm going to mention something about phonies. There is a shunning going on among so-called conservatives. I don't count O'Reilly as a conservative. And sometimes I'm disappointed with Sean Hannity, but he's all we got. And I'll tell you why. O'Reilly never wears a flag pin. And I know the stock answer that he will give if you ask him, how come you never wear a flag pin? He will tell you he doesn't have to wear it to prove that he's patriotic. And he's right, he doesn't. but he could wear it in support of the troops. Okay? And that's a good reason to wear it. What bothers me about Sean Hannity, and he's the best of the best, is that he built his reputation on being a flag waver. But on November of 2001, that's 2 months after September 11th, Alan Combs, who used to wear a flag pin, took it off. And a month later, Sean removed his. And that's when I felt he was more of a flag waver, W-A-I-V-E-R, than a flag waver, W-A-V-E-R. So, now you see that the Democrats are wearing flag pins. Yeah, that's like saying, I voted for Jesus on Good Friday. Yeah, give me a break. Well, here's what bothers me about the staunch conservatives or Republicans, whatever they want to call themselves, is that there's a shunning going on. There is one hard-fighting conservative who I don't always agree with, but he is more right than wrong, and that's Mike Savage. And he gets no recognition because he's considered a threat. Or he's a threat or an embarrassment. I don't know which. Of course, those who hate him will say he's an embarrassment. But I got a feeling they consider him a threat. And he's always pushing. He's got his foot in the door and he's trying to push it open. But he is shunned. He will never be mentioned. They never mention him by name on O'Reilly, Hannity. And last night, I was very disappointed in Mark Levin, who attacked Savage's ratings. Now, I seem to recall an announcement from WorldNet Daily, I think it was, who announced the top radio guys, or the top conservative radio guys on radio, and Savage was rated number 3. O'Reilly was first, Hannity was second, and Savage was 3. If you're brainwashed, you can't listen to Savage, because he's going to say things that will make you cringe. But you know what? There's a saying, the truth hurts. So Savage retaliates. He calls Rush Limbaugh the golfer. He calls that's who the three Mark Levin mentioned 4 top rated radio shows: Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, a guy named Weiner, and who's a liberal and communist. It's the same thing. It's just a dressing. It's like what kind of dressing you want on your camo salad. You want on your red cabbage. Borscht. I'll have some borscht. Weiner and Mark Levin said he was number 4. But we need to come together because we're outnumbered. And if we fight amongst ourselves, we're going to end up with nothing. I saw Savage take off on Bush, and he probably killed McCain's chances. He'll tell you he's not loyal to either party. He's an independent. So's Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is an independent Marxist. And boy, what they did to the state of Vermont. It's unbelievable. How sad. Even Ben and Jerry's went communist. I think the flavor of the month is a lemon. Lenin, a lemon. And I won't I won't buy Ben and Jerry's. I'm a Haagen-Dazs man myself. Even though the Dutch couldn't beat the Germans, it wasn't their fault. They're a low level country. It was easy for the Germans to roll in, but they could have put an end to drugs, which has ruined their country, and now the Muslims are taking over their country too. Yep. And all of Europe is in for a hot foot. And we're next. And we're doing it to ourselves. And thank you, Ted Kennedy, for bringing in a Heinz 57 varieties to undermine the strong American culture. You did a wonderful job. And I know they're getting ready to bury you. And they're planning to make you a martyr. And personally, I have to tell you, Ted, you got a lot of explaining to do to the Lord. And you know what, Ted? You're in trouble. Yeah. And whoever says who's the judge, I can say I'm the judge. And I just hope that when you pass on, they don't give you they don't put you on a case on. And have the riderless horse. Better you should be thrown into the back of a garbage truck with the galoshes turned inside out. The riderless garbage truck. Because you've hurt and killed a lot of kids. And you've burned a lot of flags, Ted. And you've driven women to drink and left them in the drink. And now you're going to meet your maker, Bo Pio. Yeah, and I have no sympathy for you whatsoever. As a kid, I grew up believing every Irishman was a patriot. That you couldn't get more loyal than an Irishman. And Ted proved me wrong. Thank you, Ted. Yeah. Should change your name to Ethel and Julius Kennedy. Yep, and I see tonight in New York State there's a guy named Murphy running, and he's no Audie Murphy. He hates the troops, and he's a typical New York Democrat. Kill the kids, burn the flag, and do what you have to do. Don't count military absentee ballots, and that's how they operate. So we got to get rid of the puppies in the Republican Party, or we got to break away from it. I'm sorry, like I told you, either get out of the Ruby Puppy Party or throw out the Democrats. And start with Matt McConnell, who voted to burn the flag 40 days before 9/11. That's my barometer, that's my litmus test. If you voted to burn the flag, like Harry Truman said about a guy who cheated on his wife when he heard about it. You listening, Bill? If a man can't be faithful to his family, how can he be faithful to his country? So, start with Matt McConnell, who voted to burn the flag 40 days before 9/11. Take the main snow jobs with you. Julius Caesar said it best when he said, better to be first in a small town than second in Rome. And that goes for Washington, D.C. also. I don't want to be part of the appeasement party who pretends to care. If you are a polecat, climb a tree and stay there. If you got to put your finger up to see which way the wind is blowing, we don't want you. Stop reaching out to those who would destroy us. I want a neon con president who lights up when asked, will you close the border? And she answers with the question, what time is it? Let me see, from Fort Hood to the Rio Grande, give me 8 hours. I want a black conservative in power, not because he's a teaser for black votes, but one who can do the job better than anybody else. The same conservative, and that goes for Latinos and Americanos. Tokens are for subway riders. And don't talk like a hawk and flutter like a canary. Welcome to POP, the party's over party. And we're the Spirit of America, a party. So, Mark Levin attacked Mike Savage last night and called him a phony. We need a Mike Savage and we need a Mark Levin. And the blacklist, I thought, was only Hollywood against conservatives. But now I'm seeing a blacklist of conservatives against one conservative. Now, if the guy is a whack, if the guy is too outspoken, you should still welcome him on your show and let him self-destruct. And he's not competition. He's a fellow American who's trying to do what's best for America, like you guys say you are. Okay?